We're not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are fellow workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building.
By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple.
So I want to think with you, as Wendy said, about discipleship. And Paul, as I was reading 1 Corinthians, I thought, oh, actually, this is rather good. It's a good way for us to think it through. Paul was having a go at the Corinthians. He sounds quite fierce, I think, but he had good reason to be fierce with them about discipleship. On Wednesday, we're off to Greece on holiday. We're going to the island of Samos, which is the red bit on the right there, next to Turkey. But Corinth is the other red bit on the left, on the mainland of Greece, just south of Athens, a big Greek port. It was a trading city. There were lots of languages spoken there, lots of different cultures passing through all the time. Ships calling in, merchants flying around the city doing their trades and so on. And because of all that, the Corinthians loved hearing the latest gossip. They loved seeing the latest product, hearing the latest ideas and new philosophies. Ooh, what's this? Christianity. That's a new thing, isn't it? And the problem that Paul had was that they weren't really very interested in taking it much further, in becoming mature Christians. They wanted the latest thing. And in fact, as soon as new teachers turned up in Corinth, claiming that they had version 2, a better version of Christianity with secret truths on higher levels, if you got that high, the Corinthians were all agog about that. And Paul here, in his letter, Paul has to bring them back to earth, down to basics. What is the Christian faith all about, says Paul? How do you actually grow and move on as a disciple of Jesus? And Paul uses in our Bible text three images. First of all, infants in the first few verses, 1-4. And then he talks about seeds in the next bit, verses 5-9. And then lastly, he talks about buildings in verses 10-17. I want to focus and spend a bit more time on that third bit. But first of all, infants, verses 1-4. Babies still feeding on their mother's milk, not yet ready to be weaned onto solid food. And Paul ridicules the Corinthians as babies in faith. He says, you're still not ready, but you should be ready by now. You should have moved on by now. But Paul says, look, there's jealousy and quarrelling amongst you, bickering, worldly bickering, rather than spiritual maturity, which you should have. For the Corinthians, it was all about personalities, whether you follow Apollos or whether you follow Paul. And still today in churches, you sometimes find people arguing about whether they like this vicar or that one, or maybe they follow this preacher or that worship leader. And Paul would say that mature Christians are there to follow Jesus. After all, men and women are fallible. Every single man and woman on the planet, sooner or later, they'll let you down. If you doubt that, if you think you have a hero, ask their family. They'll soon tell you the secrets. They'll soon tell you the truth, won't they? Paul says, no, we are Christians. We follow Christ. We follow Jesus. And Paul said in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And in fact, Michael Green, that Jane was talking about, we went to the wonderful service yesterday, he was a hero for a lot of people, but he said exactly the same thing, follow me only as I follow Christ. So it's a question, isn't it? What stage are you at? What stage are we at? Are we still captivated by personalities and human beings and so on? Oh, I like her. I want to go and hear her speak. Or do we actually see past the person, whether they're good or bad? What is Jesus showing you? What can you see of Jesus in that person? What does Jesus say to you through that person? So that's the first image, babies, infants in Christ. Paul's second image is about growing seeds. Very good one for this area, if you know anything about the history of Mark's Tay and seed growing and so on. And he says, look, Apollos and Paul were only servants of the Lord, were only gardeners of the Lord, really, each doing our particular job. And Paul's job among the Corinthians was like the gardener who first plants the seed. Paul says he prepared the soil, getting the right nutrients, probably digging in some compost or fertilizer or whatever, raking it nice and flat, digging a trench, planting the seed to just the right depth, covering it over and so on. I don't know, maybe he was thinking of the parables that Jesus told, many, many parables about the word of God being like a seed planted in the soil of our hearts. And then he says Apollos had the next job of tending the seed and watering it so it didn't dry out, and maybe removing some of the weeds that were competing with it for nutrients and throttling the seed that was really wanted. But the appeal of gardening, I'm sure many of you know, the appeal is seeing the growth happening, isn't it? And if we're honest, the gardener doesn't have to do that much, really. You just have to make sure the conditions are right and it grows all on its own, doesn't it? Paul says, look, Christian faith is like this. God gives the growth, the seed of the word of God. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes it grow and flourish. You could say that's true of the first image of infants and babies as well, isn't it? You know, we don't have to do a great deal, really. Children just grow, don't they? of their own accord, given the right situation, the right nutrients, and so on. And Paul says, look, growing Christian disciples is very like that as well. Most of the work, the hard graft, is done by God's Holy Spirit in our hearts. Someone was telling me in Oldham today, actually, how God is changing her heart, and how when she comes to church, she hears the word and it lights up for her. It makes sense now because God has changed her heart from the inside. And so Christian ministers, like gardeners, we don't really have to do a great deal. We just have to keep an eye on the seedling and make sure it doesn't dry out or get strangled by weeds. I don't know about you, if someone comes to visit us and just drops a word in my ear, says, just round the side of your house there's a rose. It's not looking that happy. You know, would you like to go and just check if it's got green fly or something? I find that really helpful. In the same way, if you see a Christian who's in trouble, who's in need, who's having a hard time, a brother or sister in need of help, say something. Tell us. Because we're all in this work together, really, of growing Christian disciples. Let me ask you, what ministry has God given you? Do you like planting that first seed in the virgin ground, watching people's hearts, the virgin soil of people's hearts, as they first receive the gospel, the good news of Jesus? That's going to be part of Wendy's ministry when she moves on from us here in a few weeks' time and goes to Stanway and Tollgate. And there'll be people there who have never, ever heard the gospel. That first moment when they hear about Jesus. Or maybe you're an encourager. Maybe you're watering the seed, nurturing it, watching it take root and grow, and then eventually bear fruit. But whatever God calls you to do, whatever your part in the process, go to it and watch God at work. One of the speakers yesterday was Jay John, who's quite a well-known speaker, I know, an evangelist. And he said there are just two reasons, he said, why people are not yet Christians. Number one, he said, they've not yet met a Christian. Number two, he said, they have met a Christian. I sat and thought about that for a long time. I thought, well, if this is a person who has not yet met a Christian, then that's our job, isn't it? That's our job to go and plant the first seed, to go and tell them about Jesus, and maybe help them to come to faith. But the second one, we're not all good witnesses, are we? Sometimes people actually say, I'm not a Christian because I've seen what they're like. They're a dodgy lot, they are. We all have a responsibility, don't we, to show Jesus in our lives, to be a good witness, to be a good encourager. I love that. I was laughing about that all the way home, actually. It's a great, great story. So the third image, then, is buildings. Infants, seeds, and buildings. And most modern buildings, if you've had anything to do with them, you'll know that it starts by a lot of digging down into the ground. And sometimes that takes a lot of time and energy, laying in pipes and services, digging big holes, in our case for rainwater tanks and sewage tanks and so on, bringing in electricity and gas and internet and whatever other services you need. And for Christian faith, the groundwork is a bit like the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, the temple, the sacrificial system, the feasts and traditions. You don't normally see a lot of that in the Christian church today. It's all underground, if you like. But knowing about it, understanding how it works, knowing what's there in the background of our faith is really, really helpful. It gives depth and insight and understanding to our Christian faith. And then comes the day when the builders are out of the ground, as they say. The foundation, says Paul, must be Jesus Christ. The foundations start in the ground. Jesus was Jewish. He was raised a Jew with the temple and the sacrificial systems and so on. But the foundation rises up out of the ground, doesn't it, to the damp-proof course and the ground level screed or whatever. Jesus was a Jew, but he was so much more than that. And Christian faith became so much more than just Judaism. And Jesus is like the foundation of the building, firm and strong. And Paul says you can build a cheap shed on it if you like, probably won't last very long, or you can build a luxury golden palace or some luxury dwelling. But whatever the building is, says Paul, you need the foundation in Jesus. A cheap shed may fall down in the storm, but if the foundation is good, then you'll be saved. Jesus is all you really need. I wonder if Paul was perhaps thinking of, again, Jesus' stories of the two builders. Do you remember? The one who built his house on the rock and the one who built his house on the sand. And, of course, the one on the sand collapsed when the storm came. Both of them heard the words of Jesus, but only one of them did something about it. Only one of them obeyed and followed his commandments and put it into practice. Matthew 7:24, if you want to check it. Now, I could go on with this image and talk about the ground floor rooms being the New Testament, built on the foundation of Jesus by those who were in contact with him, those who were eyewitnesses in touch with him. And then the upper floors might be those who came later, theologians and mystics and poets and intercessors and worship leaders and so on. But the main point is that the building depends on the foundations of Jesus, passed on by the apostles and the gospel writers. That's why we read from the Bible in church. That's why we run courses like the Bible course. That's why we preach from the Bible. That's why we encourage each other to read our own Bibles and get to know it. Because if we build away from the foundations, too far upwards or too far sideways, then the building tumbles and collapses and comes crashing down, doesn't it? So just to finish, let me give you a little challenge. What are you building on in your Christian faith? Because the foundation is Jesus. Nobody else, nothing else. Stay close to Jesus, and your faith will be founded firm, and you will be saved.